be there. All right, that looks like the balance. Oh, we got one more. Okay, come on. Outstanding. For the rest of you, let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 4. We're going to begin reading here in verse 26 and take it through verse 29. Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29. Let's all stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. Mark 4, 26 through verse 29. 4, 26 through verse 29. If you found that the passage this morning, would you say amen? That's about a third of you. I'll give you a few more seconds. Mark 4, 26 through verse 29. All right, the gospel writer gives it to us here, the words of Christ. He continues on in verse 26 and he says, "And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up." Boy, if you've not underlined this, you need to underline it or put a star by it or circle it, because the Word of God says, "He knoweth not how." He knoweth not how. Let's say that together. He knoweth not how. Thank you. Verse 28. "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, we thank you that you want to speak to us through your word today. Lord, help us have ears to hear and hearts to listen. Lord, may our minds be receptive. Father God, it's a busy time of year. Lord, I pray that we could focus, we could settle, we could see today what you would have for us in your word. Lord, we pray that you would touch the saved, that you would save the lost, that you would help those today that are struggling. May this be a time of encouragement for some. May it be a time of conviction for others. And Lord, may it be just a time for some to lay some people down, some burdens of some people that they are carrying. Lord, may this be an opportunity for them to lay them down at the altar and know that you're in control and know that you have a plan for them. And know that their salvation is drawing near. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for saving us. Thank you for this opportunity to praise you and worship you. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Now, you're saved and you're in a relationship. You're the wife, you're the husband. Or you're saved and you have a family, brothers and sisters. Or you're saved and you've got good friends at school, or you're saved and you're with a group of people. You know what? You know where I'm trying to get with this. You're saved and the group of folks that you're with, some of them not. Maybe it's the person you're lying next to. Maybe it's the person you're lying next to for the last 15, 10, 5, 20, I don't know, 30 years. You got Christ, they don't have Christ, and man, your heart is what? Heavy. You want them to get Jesus. Amen? You want them to get saved. You want them to come to this realization of who Jesus is, what salvation is about. Well, yes, you need to be burdened. Amen? You need to be broken. You need to be prayerful. But once you've presented the gospel to them, whether it's your spouse or a sibling, or a parent, or a child. Once you've presented the gospel to them, there's a certain amount of it that you can lay down. Did you know that? Now, let me tell you, presenting the gospel is not inviting them to church. All right? Really would like you to come to New Hope Baptist Church with me or whatever church. That's not presenting the gospel. Speaking to them in anger, you're going to go to hell. That ain't the gospel either. All right? that ain't quite the gospel, right? God loves you is not quite all the gospel. You got to get the gospel message out to them from beginning to end. Amen? Take them down the Romans road to four spiritual laws. Lead them through a Bible tract. Tell them your personal testimony. You got to get it all out there. Amen? But if you have presented an adequate gospel presentation, it does not take a PhD or a bachelor's degree or a master's or a high school diploma. It doesn't take any of that to present the gospel. It just takes a want to. Amen? If you've done that, then there is a certain amount of this angst and burden and heaviness that we get to lay down. Amen? I hope you see that as we go through the passage this morning. As we look at Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 26 and taking it through verse 29, there is a close relationship between the parable of the sower. You remember that, the four soils, verses 3 through 9, and then it was explained later on in chapter 4 before we got into the candlestick and all that other stuff. There is a close relationship between the parable of the sower, verses 3 through 9, and the seed growing in secret. That's what we've got going on here, verses 26 through 29. The secret seed a-growing. Amen? That's what we got going on here. Now, what I will say about this growing in secret seed is that this is peculiar to the Gospel of Mark. The other Gospel writers don't mention it. The parable of the sower, though, stresses what? Stresses human responsibility. In that the seed cannot sprout, the seed cannot grow, the seed cannot bear fruit unless the seed falls into some good soil. It can happen in rocky soil or thorny soil. It's got to happen in some good soil. Amen? This means the word or message of God, the gospel, bears fruit only when the heart, the soil is the heart, only when the heart responds or chooses favorably the seed. Right? The parable of the sower is about your free choice. It's about your free will. But as we transition further down here in the chapter, the parable of the seed growing in secret stresses God's sovereignty. Everybody say sovereignty with me. Sovereignty. One more time. Sovereignty. God is what? Thank you, little girl. He's sovereign. Amen? Amen. God is sovereign. The parable teaches two truths as we introduce it this morning to you. Number one, God alone, not the farmer. Only God, not the farmer, thoroughly understands and is in fact, God is in fact the author of physical growth. Number two, by implication, God alone and not the man thoroughly understands and is the author of spiritual growth. If you think you understand spiritual growth today, you are sadly mistaken. It is a mystery, just as life is. Man, why do some people get well? Some people die. Some people recover. Some people don't. Why do some get saved? Some don't. Some really take root and take off for the Lord. Some are just kind of lukewarm, take up space and always complaining. I don't know why. It's just a mystery. I've been cracking it for 20-something years, and I'm telling you, I hadn't figured this, hadn't figured it out. I'm not supposed to, I don't think. I'm just supposed to tell it. It's a mystery, amen? Well, when we talk about spiritual growth, what do we mean by that? Well, we mean by being saved, of course, first and foremost. If you're sitting here lost today, I will tell you that God does love you. I will tell you that there is a path and a plan for you to spend eternity with God. It's through the person of Jesus Christ. He wants to desperately come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life, not to end all of your problems, but to help you through your problems. That's what Jesus wants to do today. And I will tell you, I'll be very honest with you, if you continue to reject Christ and you're sitting here lost this morning listening to me, or you're listening over the internet and you refuse to accept Christ, oh, you need to turn. You need to turn because the Bible says you stand condemned already. Amen. Friend, we want you to be with us one day in glory. Amen? Amen. We want you to experience. So it begins with salvation, right? We talk about spiritual growth. Saved, and then we're discipled. We grow in the Word. Amen? Grow in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And in the process of being saved and discipled, we're sanctified. Amen? Set apart. That's spiritual growth. Spiritual growth occurs because of God's will. God wants you to grow spiritually. Spiritual growth is the process of the gospel seed asserting an increasingly powerful influence upon the hearts of people, which is a foreshadowing of Him coming back the second time. Amen? We're just a picture. The church is just a picture of what this place is going to look like when God comes back the second time and reigns and rules. He came the first time to save. The second time, He comes to rule. Oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be great. It's good and it's great now, but it's really going to be awesome one day. Amen? So I want to share with you three things about these few verses. And let me just say this. I'm not trying to get you to understand this because I don't understand it. But what I want you to do is submit to this. Submit to the truth of this parable. If you will submit to it, you will find peace in it. If you will submit to it, you will find comfort from it. If you will submit to it, it will enable you to be patient as we await the harvest that is certain to come. The harvest is coming, friend. Victory is assured. God's plan must be and is. God's plan is going to be. God's plan is being carried out. It's going to be carried out. It's going to end all good one day. Amen? So three things. The first one is this. To man, or to woman, to all of us sitting here today, to man, growth is a mystery. Growth is a mystery. Verses 26 and 27. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. He knoweth not how. Forces of life. Forces of growth have always and will continue to elude man's knowledge. Well, we've mapped the human genome and we've done this and we've done that. Yeah, I know that, but there's no one in the room today, and I don't think there's anyone on the internet today that can explain how 2,000-year-old seed recovered from an excavation at Herod the Great's palace in Israel on Masada grew, a 2,000-year-old seed grew into a viable Judean date palm back in 2005. Nobody can explain that to me. How 2,000-year-old seed does that? How does that do that? I don't know. It's a mystery. See, the mystery of life has been the issues of the century. It has been the issue of the century. And people want to, what about scientific advancement? I mean, I carry all this information on my cell phone, and I've got all this stuff on my laptop, and I can go anywhere on the interweb that I want to go, and worldwide, and it's just so big, and just all this knowledge coming. What about all that scientific stuff? Still doesn't answer the question, does it? No, still doesn't answer the question. Where'd the genome come from? Where'd the dirt come from? Still don't answer the question. Well, we can break the dirt down, we get it real small, dissect the seed, get it real. Where did all that come from? It came from God, amen? It came from God. Where life forces are involved, the adage holds true. Listen to the adage. We are learning more and more about less and less, and soon we will know everything about nothing. Amen? Everything about nothing. In verse 27, the Word of God, and I told you to underline it, star it, circle it, take a note on it. Verse 27, He knoweth not how. That is God putting the mystery of physical life and consequently by inference spiritual life outside the knowledge of me and you. Outside the knowledge of man. This is something Donald Trump don't even know. Amen? Hey, brother, don't know this. Ain't no way. To man, growth is a mystery, folks. So what does the farmer have to do? Ultimately, the farmer has to trust, doesn't he? The farmer's got to trust. The farmer can cover the seed after he sows it. The farmer can root up the weeds around the seed he's sown. He can till the ground before he puts the seed in. He can add fertilizer during the process. He can even apply water to the plot of land where he's placed the seed. Amen? But the farmer cannot cause. He cannot force. He cannot put a gun out there and say, you're going to grow, I tell you now. Grow on up out of that ground. He can't do none of that stuff. He cannot force that seed to sprout, can he? All the farmer can do is sleep night after night and rise day after day. The rest of the growing process he must leave entirely to the seed, ultimately to the one who created the seed, who knows the seed thoroughly, who activates the seed. He's got to leave it up to God. Amen? The farmer must trust and pray. He must wait patiently. And likewise for me and you, church friend, ultimately we must trust God for spiritual growth in the hearts of the people that we love, in the hearts of the people that we like, in the hearts of the people that we've sown the gospel seed into. Now, if you're burdened and you're broken and you're all bent out of shape for their lostness, and you've not presented the gospel to them adequately, you need to get on with it. Amen? You need to have that fallout. You need to take that leap. You need to ruin that that family gathering. Say, ruin it? Well, yeah, man, when they're slinging the suds and burning the butts and you bring Christ into the middle of it, you're probably going to offend some folks. But just get on with the offense. Just get it on out there. Amen? I didn't say you got to go ruin it every time you go. You got to get it out there. You got to present it once. At least once. In entirety. Do it in love. But tell them. Tell them the gospel. Amen? And once we do that, ultimately we can trust God for spiritual growth in the hearts of people. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 says, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Amen? John chapter 3, verse 8 says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It's a mystery, amen? It's a mystery. Well, number one, to man, growth is a mystery. Number two this morning, the seed reveals its potency. Oh, it's potency. Look at verse 28. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. The term here, earth, get this, the term here, earth, in this context, means the seed embedded in the earth, all right? It's just representative of it all together, the seed inside of there. To that seed, God entrusted the secret. God entrusted the secret so that the seed knows exactly what the seed has to do, when to do it, the seed knows, and how to do it, the seed knows what to do, amen? He's got it all figured out. For the man, if he goes out the day after he's sown, if he goes out the second day after he's sown, if he goes out the third day after he has sown, if he looks at the field, he sees no sign of life whatsoever. Huh. Well, you know, I've come out here twice. It's the third day. What's going on? Right? Sometime later when he looks again. Oh, sometime later when he looks again, when he looks out there over the field, over the plot of land, when he looks out there, sometime later when he looks, he stands amazed. He cannot believe it. He beholds ever so many little sprouts in the ground. Wow, what potency of the little seed. Amen. There's life contained therein. Where nothing was visible before, now it's visible all over the place. The farmer shouts. He plants one foot in the ground and he spins around like a top with one hand up in the air. Woo! Amen. Look at that seed go, right? He shouts what potency was concealed in things so small. Well, likewise, a faithful pastor or a faithful Sunday school teacher or a faithful Christian scatters the seed year upon year. He explains the seed, illustrates the seed, invites others to come hear the seed and partake of the seed. He exhorts folks to receive the seed, comforts them when they need the seed. He warns them. He urges them. He makes pastoral visits and visits of care and visits of love. To a considerable extent, though, the pastor's efforts, the Sunday school teacher's efforts, the faithful deacon's efforts, the concerned Christian's efforts, to a considerable extent, seem to have been futile. Now, what's going on here? Did any of this help? My soul, you would think we would see something by now. Right? Christians want to operate the church by the clock. They want to operate it by the clock. Count seconds. They want to count seconds. They want to count minutes. Well, you know, when's that going to change? When's that going to get better? When's this going to happen? Let me tell you something. I'd put away my watch if I was in church work or part of a church, and I'd get my calendar out. We operating on a different time frame. Amen? I'd get my calendar out because it's a mystery. Because then all of a sudden, the Word reveals its potency. It shows its power. The Word had been active in hearts. The seed had gone in. The fowl of the air had stolen away. It didn't fall into thorny ground. It didn't fall into a rocky ground. It fell into good soil, man. And the mystery of it is, some of it took. Right? The Word had been active in those hearts, but the results had not been greatly evidenced. But now when? I don't know when. That's the whole point. I don't know when. But now, sometime in the future, men and women, boys and girls, spouses, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, parents, they confess their faith. They express this faith in their lives. When, Pastor? Sometime later, now, in the future. Can't you give me a reading on that? Just future. You be faithful and you'll be surprised what the future will hold for you. Amen? See, the result of the potency of the seed, the Spirit working mightily with the Word, oh, man, when it finally shows itself, when it finally sprouts from the heart, when it finally gets growing, oh, man. Look out, church. The people will have peace within their hearts. They'll have an assurance of salvation. There won't be always wondering, boy, did I mean it? Did I make that decision? There will be assurance in the heart when the seed has really taken root, when they've responded appropriately to the seed. You know what, man? They'll be in the church. You won't have to twist arms to see folks baptized. Oh, they'll want to come on to Sunday school. They'll want to get involved, man. They'll want to lay an offering and a tithe down. You won't have to beg. I want to tell you, people will get wound for God when the seed takes root. Amen? They'll get wound. They look forward to the inheritance stored up for them in heaven. These people that truly get saved, that you're going to sow the seed of God into their heart, that you've sown the seed of God into their heart. These folks, oh, they get grateful. They get eternally grateful. They get continually thankful. And friend, thankful and grateful is a good thing. Because let me tell you what happens. They start doing everything in their life for the glory of God. No longer for the glory of themselves. They do it for the glory of God. They make every effort to now see the conversion of others. So now the seed that you planted in them via the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and how you prayed over them and sweated over them and cried over them, it's bearing fruit in them because they're sowing seed in other lost people's hearts. They're taking the will of God as revealed in His Word, and they're taking it to every place possible. They're taking it to the workplace, and they're taking it to their extended family, and they're taking it to the government, and they're taking it to the schoolhouse, and they're taking it to commerce and industry and manufacturing and finance and real estate and where the hospital. They're taking it everywhere. Why? So that God can be glorified. So that His Word can be obeyed. That's why they're doing it. But let me remind you, potent. The seed reveals its potency. Potent is different than quick. Oh, we're a fast food generation, are we not? Fast food culture. Man, I'm so glad to say I have not had any fast food. And I'm trying to think. It's probably been about a month. Hadn't had any fast food. No, I take that back. Last week I had some fast food. Sorry. All right. Me thought a little higher than himself than he should. Amen. Last week I had some fast food. It was good. We're a fast food culture, are we not? Amen. But potent is different than quick. In the plant world, this transition from one stage to another is so gradual that it can truly be called imperceptible. You cannot tell it unless it's being filmed in high speed film. You can't see it. Your eye cannot perceive it. Try to indicate the precise moment with just your eye, without high speed film. Try to indicate the precise moment when the blade develops into the ear or the ear produces a row of full kernels. You can't do it. You can't do it. But let me tell you something about growth. Let me tell you something about potency. Let me tell you something about God's Word. Though imperceptible, development and growth is also inevitable. It's going to happen. That's where we get to rest. It's going to happen. The farmer does his part. He does his part. He prepares it. He sows it. He tills it. He weeds it. He waters it. He fertilizes it. He does his part, and then he goes to bed. Amen? And wakes up, goes to bed, and wakes up. He goes on with his life. He's not wound up. Well, man, did I sow that right? No, you just sow it. Amen? Do you walk away from it? No, you don't walk away from it completely. You keep an eye on it. But you're not so wound up about it because what? It's in God's hands. Amen? It's in God's hands. Under normal conditions, nothing can stop growth. We have all seen the steady power, the steady but slow power of the plant against the sidewalk or the plant against the driveway or what I've had the pleasure of. I mean, it's just a pleasure. It is an incredible journey living with pine trees up in here. I tell you what, I have never seen a tree so prolific in all my life. I mean, man, you start getting in the ground, you'll be 20 feet away from that tree, and here's a root. I mean, here's a root down in the ground from that tree over there. And it's not a little bitty root. No, it's a big old root. And you're used to looking up at an oak tree. Well, the canopy's this big, and so, you know, the root ball's going to be this big, not so on a pine tree. Canopy's, you know, whatever size, but the roots go forever. And they'll pick your house up. I mean, they just keep chugging. It is amazing, the slow but steady power of the plant, of the pine tree. I mean, it's amazing. Imperceptible, I didn't know what was going on until I got in the ground. Imperceptible, yet it is inevitable. It's inevitable in the way of the kingdom of heaven. Inevitable. Salvation. It's inevitable. Them finally getting it. Inevitable. Amen? Inevitable. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 says this: "But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day." Brighter and brighter until the full day. This truth explains the influence of the gospel in the individual believer. This truth also explains the influence of the gospel throughout the centuries, little by little, traveling from one nation to the next, one nation entering and influence more and more places. The gospel, it just goes, amen? Oh, it's rooted all around the gospel. I know we're living in a place where, I don't know what you call it, I don't know what you call it. It's mind-boggling. I never thought I'd see same-sex marriage in my day. I never thought I would see public schools going transgendered bathrooms. I never thought I'd see it. That's coming. Wait, what do you do? Well, what a world, man. What a world we live in. But you know, in other countries, this gospel taken off like wildfire. We're sitting over here all fat and happy. We're sitting over here moneyed up. We're sitting over here, one of the greatest countries in the world. Familiarity has bred contempt with us. We are so gospel hard. We are so, oh man, it's about me. I'm the center of my own universe. We don't get it. People that have nothing, people that have very little, the gospel just goes, man. They can get it. They can get it. Amen? That's what the gospel's been doing for thousands of years, church. That's what it's been doing. The last point, then we're done. To man, growth is a mystery. The seed reveals its potency. That was number two. But the third thing we talk about just very briefly, the harvest time spells victory. Verse 29. The harvest time spells victory. Look at verse 29 with me. Mark chapter 4. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. You know the harvest is coming, don't you? Amen. You know, we read that, or I read that, I study that. I feel the end of days upon me. I read that and it just sounds very apocalyptic. You know what? What do you mean by that? It seems very eschatological too. What do you mean by that? It seems like it's almost here. Amen? That's what I'm trying to say. There is coming a time. Can you show me on your watch? I can't. Can you show me on a calendar? I can't. There's coming a time, though, a specific time, the right time, God's appointed time, just like when the farmer looks out at the field and says the crops are ready. Jesus is looking down at this world and he's saying, Father, can I go get my bride? And God is saying, it's almost time, son. It's almost time. Hold off just a little bit. Can I go get her? I want to go get the bride. Just hold on a little bit longer. I wonder who the holdup is. Is it you today, friend? Is God's patience for you so that you'll get saved? Me and my wife, we used to think when we were younger and had fewer kids that it would be, you know, that's kind of a romantic dream to see all your kids grow up and have kids and do that grandparent thing and everything. I don't know if this world's got that much time anymore. So if you're lost today, let me tell you something. Jesus wants to come get his bride. You need to be part of the bride today. Amen? Harvest time is approaching. Victory is sure, friend. It's arriving at the very moment that God decides it's time. When is that time? Let me read you some passages out of the Bible, and we can think about that time together. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 17, 14 says, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they are with him, are called and chosen and faithful. Will you be with him? I hope you will be. James chapter 5, verses 7 through 8, kind of summarizes it all up for us this morning. James 5, 7 and 8. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Not telling you to quit your job. Not telling you to dig a big old hole and concrete it up and go hunker down and hide. It's talking about establishing your heart. Amen? Is your heart established? Does your heart have Jesus Christ in it? Have you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Let's go to Him this morning in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to You, we thank You, Lord, for a time of invitation, a time to respond. Lord, there are those here that need to make You Savior and Lord. Oh, they've got a good heart. They've got a heart that's ready. No thorns in the heart. No rocks in the heart. The heart's not a beaten down path. Oh, the soil is till. The soil is good. They're ready to receive. Lord, let them not leave here today lost. Let them receive this salvation today that the Bible speaks of, that we preach of continually, the salvation. Oh, let them receive it. Let them not deny You today. Lord, others have been faithful to sow a seed of salvation. They have presented a gospel message to a spouse, to a loved one, to a friend, to a family member. And Lord, their hearts are so burdened. Their hearts are so heavy. Their hearts are so broken. Lord, I pray today that there needs to be a perspective shift. There needs to be a change of mind. Let them be broken over the choice that their loved one makes. But Lord, let them rejoice in the power of Your gospel to save. Lord, may they both rejoice and be burdened. Lord, help them lay this loved one down today. Help them seek comfort today and peace and mercy in Your grace today. Oh, if they've presented the gospel, they've been obedient. They've been faithful. And Lord, I pray that You would bless them in their spirit for that. You would encourage them in their hearts for that. And You would help them look patiently and obediently to the great harvest that's coming. Lord, as we think about what we've heard today, may we submit to it. And may we take the truth out of here. It's in Your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. You'll stand with us all over the sanctuary. Brother Jeremiah is going to lead us in a hymn of invitation. You come, I'll be down front. You come for salvation. The altars are open. You come.